touched by a non-Jewish servant in the household. But that's entirely different from engaging in the sale. Uma'aseh haya v'lutir, shenatan goy echad yayin nesach l'Yisrael. There was an event in Lotharingia, that's the region that you have in front of you, that a non-Jew gave a barrel, gave some wine to a Jew, umachol l'goyim, and a Jew sold this wine to the non-Jews. And this, and the prominent members of the community found this to be a questionable activity, a bad activity. In other words, they were distinguishing between, undoubtedly what happened there was that the barrel of wine was given by the non-Jew to the Jew as payment or prepayment for a loan or something like that. And the authorities did not want to go so far as to allow the Jew to resell that wine in order to recoup his losses. And obviously there's a distinction, at least an emotional distinction, between the two cases, even though you can't conceptualize a legal distinction. Emotionally, you can't live in a country without servants, and you can't, and therefore the issue of coming in contact with, a non-Jew coming in contact with your wine in your kitchen is an everyday occurrence, and therefore you have to simply find some means to permit it. But at this stage of the development, to go so far as to accept wine as payment for a loan and then going and selling it, that went too far for the people of that time. I didn't say liquor, it said wine. It's a big difference. What liquor is not there next? Bourbon is not wine. Huh? How do you know that? In Hungary, that may have been the case, but I don't. Sure, that's the way it was in Hungary in the 20th century, but that wasn't the way it was in Lotharingia in the 9th century.
Why didn't other separation?
As we mentioned last week or two weeks ago, the original prohibition against Yayin Nesach was libation. And libation apparently was not performed with beer.
But once they're extending it for other reasons, they do it with other, I can't pay something that is right. So it's thinking. I'm not pushing for it. I'm not advocating. But I'm saying it seems logical. It seems like a logical step.
No, but as I mentioned earlier, none of the rabbinic authorities prior to the 12th century ever took this issue of intercourse, of social intercourse, as a reason for the prohibition into account. Rashi doesn't mention it in any of his decisions. Nobody mentions it. Because, and this is Rabbi Soloveitchik's view here, because prior to the Baalei HaTosfot, you did not feel that you had to justify absolutely every passage that occurred in the Gemara. The Gemara itself mentions the prohibition of wine as coming from social intercourse only in two places, and never discusses it seriously when it's really discussing the laws of the Yayin Nesach.
So once it did become an issue, why did it issue? Once the issue arose of you considering wine as a social thing, as a problem socially.
The Gemara itself just mentions a prohibition against drinking beer, but only in a social context.
Right, so it became. So it is.
I don't understand the question.
The consciousness about the social issue was being raised.
Not
early on, but later on, it became an issue.
Yeah.
So once it became an issue, why didn't the issue spread, not only from wine to beer, other things that the issue came as?
Well, remember that all of these laws about social intercourse themselves were falling into abeyance. For example, there was a prohibition against patakum, bread that was baked by a non-Jew. That was impossible to enforce in areas in which there were no Jewish bakers and bread was an essential part of the diet. So in fact, that fell by the wayside. Also, in Eastern Europe, as Aviva pointed out, the Jews were in the liquor business in a big way. So there was if the issue was one of trying to extend a prohibition, in that direction it couldn't have been extended.
So when did it become an issue at all?
As I said, this was became an issue because once the principle of the Baalei HaTosfot came, that you have to resolve all possible contradictions and passages in the Gemara, then they brought in this issue. We will see in the Tosfot on Daf Nun Zayin on the base, if we get to the Gemara, maybe we won't get to it tonight, we'll get to it next week, Amen Hashem, the issue of, for Rashi, it was perfectly reasonable to have a passage or two in the Gemara, which is not primarily dealing with the laws of the Ayin Nesek, bring up this issue of social intercourse. But if that were the case, it would have to be limited to drinking in a bar or in the house of an non-Jew, not buying the liquor and drinking in your home. It would have to be not drinking and drinking at home. And furthermore, he just didn't consider it. Rashi just doesn't mention it. By the time that the Baalei HaTosfot were concerned, there was this great taboo against wine. And there was no reason to extend it to other things. And certainly in Eastern Europe, for example, we will, I hope, at some time, either this semester or next, read the Tshuva of the Ramah, who tries to explain why all of the Jews in Moravia were actually drinking wine, non-Jewish wine. He's very ambivalent about trying to give a justification for something that he didn't want to justify. But at least it was an attempt to explain that they had at least some leg to stand on by the fact that they weren't obeying this law altogether. And in Eastern Europe, in Poland, the Jews were principally in the liquor business in a big way, also as a result of anti-Semitism driving them out of other modes of production. For example, our whole heter of selling chametz on Pesach derives from the fact that the Jews were in the liquor business.
But they
couldn't dump it, though.
Right.
They must have also been in the wine business, too, in Poland.
No.
Where do they get their wine for?
They manufacture their own wine. They were in small wine production.
Yeah, my grandfather was in the wine business, and he used to see, take a whole group of sources and put to work more than Italy, and make it
like... And do the wine pressing, etc. That's exactly what they did. They produced kosher wine.
And they hired Margia.
And they hired Margia.
Who was watching it.
Right.
And from the beginning, it was... Exactly.
Okay. So now let's move up a little bit to Rashi. And here I'll read it in the original Hebrew and then translate. Rashi extended, so as I said, the original scholars in along the Rhine permitted wine which a non-Jewish servant touched in the house to be sold, because it would be an impossible burden to prohibit, even if you had to spill out the whole barrel when one of these accidents occurred. But we're frowning on the idea of a Jew accepting a barrel of wine in payment for a debt. That was the only payment in kind that the non-Jewish debtor could make, and then actually selling it. Rashi extended this a bit further. V'yamim, I'm reading from page 55 for those of you who have the book. V'yamim matza Rashi b'tshuvat ha-gomim smach l'tkushato ha-instinctive. Rashi found later on in a tshuva of the Gaonim support for his instinctive feeling. Midvarav shuhu alu al haktav barov yamav. Rashi changed the entire character of the Talmudic literature for us. Prior to Rashi, it was an incomprehensible text, and Rashi did an absolutely amazing job of interpreting it. There were no Perushim on the Masechet of Avodah Zarah, for example, available prior to Rashi, or the Rabbi Nechananel had some Perush, but it was not yet available to Rashi. And Rashi had three editions of his Perush and Avodah Zarah. That means he studied it in his yeshiva, four editions, studied it four times, and at the time of the fourth edition, Adul Amidim al Hakala Yitera Sharashi Hashash Bin Rabbi, we'll read this tomorrow next time, I hope. Shetinok Goy Ben Yomo Eino Oserat Ayayin Ela Vishtiya Uloba Hana'a. There's a difference of opinion between Rav and Shmuel as to whether a non-Jewish infant comes into contact with wine, and therefore certainly cannot have any intent of libation, whether he makes the wine prohibited or not. But even Rav, who maintains that the wine is prohibited, only prohibits it for drinking purposes, but doesn't say that you cannot derive any benefit from it.
How about Kiddush? Can you make Kiddush from
it? You can't drink it, according to Rav, but you can sell it.
Where is the wine kept? Is it kept in kegs or in bottles?
In kegs.
I don't understand how an infant or someone would come in contact.
The mother is carrying a child, he slips and falls and touches the wine. The Gaonim came, and they issued a ruling. Shehagayim b'zman hazeh, the Jews in this time, that is in the time of Rashi, the time of the Gaonim, me'achar she'enam menaschim, since they do not perform libations, dinam kedin tinok ben yomo, they have the same status of an infant. Sharei magash elahem, shemaharei magash nehem hu below kavanat yisur. The contact of either an infant in the time of the Gemara or a non-Jew today when libation no longer exists, that contact is made without any intent of performing the elevation. Ad hechan igia karat ruchos shel Rashi asher wrote, how the degree of satisfaction that Rashi obtained when he found this tshuva, me'etzem adarasha pam achat yechida v'ashanat metziyata v'pinkas, the tshuva ha-ga'onim matzati, in the tshuva ha-ga'onim I found, the goyim b'zman hazeh einam yodim betiv nisuch, she'ein darkam masachsei einam lavod azara, v'einam mutar ba'ana'ah. That the non-Jews, since they no longer perform libations today, their wine is permissible to derive profit from their wine, even though you're not allowed to drink it. Rashi Hirshala Talmidav Lahatik Mipin Kaso. Rashi permitted students to copy over from his private notebook. Umikan Hadivuach Hamitziato Eitzel Talmidei Rashi. V'yach Masarotam Lachatano Rabbi Yehuda Banatan Hu Rabbi Bani, even gave this information to his son-in-law. At the time that he was dictating his commentary on Masechet Avodah Zarah, he also repeated this decision to his grandson, the Rashbam, who expanded commentary that the son-in-law had written. מאחר שפירוש רשב"ם היה כנראה מהדורה תמינה של רבן, אין פלא שפירוש רבן לא משתנה, since the Rashbam's commentary was simply an expanded edition, a second edition of the Rivan, it's not surprising that the Rivan's edition is not preserved. אך דיווחו של רשב"ם הגיע לידינו, but the Rashbam's report has arrived at us, בואו אנו קוראים, and this is what we see in there. ובתשובת הגאונים מצר רבי, Rashi found in the Shura of the Goyim, the Goyim b'zman hazeh einam yodim b'tiv nisuch. Goyim nowadays are not acquainted with libation. She'ein darkam l'sachseh yinam l'avod azara. They don't shake their wine as an act of sacrifice to the idol. V'einam utar b'hana ketinok shel yom ben yomo. And therefore their wine is permitted to derive benefit from, like a infant. V'chein nira b'enei Levi, l'smoch al zeh, and therefore, according to Rashi, one can rely on this decision, l'hatir yayin nesach imitam l'Yisrael b'chovo, one to permit the acceptance of yayin nesach, which was given as payment by a non-Jew to a Jew, as payment for a debt, v'yamei habatzir, or either at the time of the harvest, or b'imei hashana b'hana'a, or the whole year round. V'lo shi'yishahenu etzlo b'chaviyot k'dei l'mokro b'yoker. But the Jew should not retain the barrel in order to wait for a good market price. Chada da'ati be'li de katakala. First of all, because if he keeps it around the house, he may actually drink from it.
Seems like he won't go the full way.
Exactly, he's not going the full way. But what's that's by Soloveitchik's point here. Rashi is not being logical. The inami, the dam, the inami even if manachle bevet goy asur, even if the barrel is kept at the house of the non-Jew, it's prohibited. She'asad divrei chachamim v'takanon hefker, because he's acting in a free manner with the words of the Chazal and with their enactments. She'mechazer lehanot be'isubei hana'a, because he's trying to derive a benefit from things that are prohibited to derive benefit from. Ve'afal pi she'ono omim she'bizman hazeh mutar ba'ana'a, even though we say today that it's permitted to derive benefit from it, mishum pseido shel Yisrael ne'kalbo. We will apply this in order to avoid a loss. In other words, if the Jew has no other way of recouping his loan except by accepting this as payment in kind, we'll let it go. Aval kama she'efshar la'achik ya'achik v'nachon. But to the extent that we can limit this permission, we will limit it.
For no
logical legal reason other than a gut,
other than tradition,
a gut feeling, a taboo feeling that it's inappropriate to go too far. Okay.
You would think that it should be just the opposite. If we know for sure that no libation was done, why can't we drink it?
As I said, the Rama tries to justify the actual practice in Bohemia in his day, that they were actually drinking wine on these grounds. But the Rama himself, maybe we should read the whole Shuvah of the Rama, but the Rama himself is very hesitant about this. He says, Oili Amagid, Oili Lo Agid. And in fact, in many editions of the Shuvah of the Rama, that particular Shuvah has been censored out precisely because of the existence of a gut reaction amongst the people that this is going to go. So there has always been this issue of a taboo, a feeling, a gut reaction that this is a serious prohibition, and one should therefore not apply normal means of logical reasoning in order to...
There's
logic and there's a gut reaction that this thing is prohibited that extends above and beyond applying logical consideration. All right, we will stop here, even though it's a bit early, because in order to understand this more fully, we have to go through the text of the Gemara. But the next stage was that, in fact, the Jews did get into, as I said, into the wine business indirectly by taking this permission that Rashi gave, but extending it in ways that Rashi didn't intend, and we certainly would not have been happy with, namely as becoming major investors in the wine business, and that had various unintended consequences, some of which were disastrous. Heck, let's stop here, Mitzvah Hashem, next week.
Okay. What the basis for Pasach was what?